an opportunity right now to go forward higher, I pray, than you've been in before. A few weeks ago, we talked about filling the entire universe. In Ephesians chapter 4, it's headed in the NIV about unity in the body of Christ. Unity means you're not going to be an outsider, you're going to be an insider. Amen? Now, the words that he's written in that first verse can make you probably feel more comfortable about walking in the place you're in. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord. Now, Paul is not only acting as a prisoner, he's walking every single day as a prisoner for the Lord. He feels compelled to tell us the emotion he's in. Now, is he in literal prison? I don't know. I think it's a possibility at this time that he's writing to them. And had he not been in prison, we wouldn't have this letter. So think about what your challenges may be and why they are there, because there could be an ultimate goal to use you in a way that you're not being used right now. And his ultimate purpose is to make more out of the situation than you could possibly dream of. So I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, not according to what I want. Even though I can keep knocking, he's already determined what I need in the grace department. Now, you're saying, oh my God, I didn't get enough grace. Well, cry out for more. But there's going to be a cap on it somewhere, because he's still in control. He has not lost his job as God. You know what I mean? He is still sovereign. And that can be a real challenge when you want to see a miracle happen or a baby come back to life. All right? So his plan is different than mine. Then it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Which, that's another message. He who descended is also the very one who ascended higher than all of heaven in order to fill the whole universe with his presence. It was he who gave some of thee to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. So there's an ultimate purpose. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, I recommended a video to Peggy a couple weeks ago, and Mary Jo, you listened to it too. And this gentleman received a message from this same scripture that if you are to look at the church right now, how many churches recognize the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, and come together in unity?
Not many.
How about zero?
Okay.
Not many. That I know of, the number is zero. That fullness means that the church is operating on 20, because if there's only a pastor, there's only 20%, right? Because there's five. The last time I multiplied, 5 2s are. So if you want 100%, you've got to have the apostle. You've got to have the prophet. You've got to have the pastor and the evangelist and the teachers. Now, at 5, you would have 100% running. If you look at the book of Acts, you see 5 running the church. After the book of Acts, you see it disintegrate after 300 years. And then you see the legalistic type of teaching that religion brought forth. And that is not what God wanted. It may be what he ended up with, that he's got to work with the confines of that, but it's not what he really wanted. I believe that when he made the promise to Abraham, he made a promise that the Jews and the Israelites were going to be awesome people. But they corrupted what they received. I believe the Holy Ghost came in and did an incredible job for the first 300 years. But then the enemy came in and he corrupted what happened. And you can't laugh at the Jew because the church did the same thing. They're doing their own thing, their own way, without the fullness of Christ. Because in order to get the fullness, you have to have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And that's what's missing. How is he doing this? And as I listened to that gentleman's teaching, I was very excited because I shut the computer down and I began to pray in the spirit. And I instantly saw that stainless steel truck.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Because I often question, why is Doug sitting in the driver's seat of the stainless steel truck? Well, that has been going on for quite a while.
And you're the passenger, though.
I'm the passenger, right. And he said, that's the order of the fullness that's coming. So Doug is the apostle. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am prophetic. And some of the words that have come out of me have come to pass, and I'll tell you, it's scary. Because my mouth can get me in trouble.
Amen.
Both hands. Got it? What I'm also saying that some of you are evangelists, and I know you are. And it will be confirmed by the God of heaven who's doing his work in this house. Some of you are also pastors. And you will manifest that job. Got it? And some of you are teachers, which you tasted that this morning. So then when he's got all of these fivefold completed in this house, what do you think is going to happen? The fullness of Christ, the fullness of the anointing will be available, and that stainless steel truck will get filled. And that's partly because of you. Because if it wasn't for you, Doug and I would have a connection, but it's getting deeper. It's getting deeper. I sent him a message this week, because for actually 2 weeks he was on my heart. I saw his face several times. So I sent him a message, and he sent back a message. But you understand there's a harmony between us that God has formed. Because when I remember reading Doug's first book that I got my hands on was The Reformation of the Apostolic. He said, that's the lousy book, I can't stand it. I said, no, I don't care what you think. I know this is one of your best books. And I've used it, in fact, so much that it's falling apart. And I got a new copy. He didn't even want to even give me a new copy. I found it at Dale's church, so I bought it over there. Because the other one, I mean, the leaves are falling out. You know, it's just lousy. I tried to put glue in it, and that didn't create a new... It created a new problem, let's say it that way. But I'm trying to show you that God's not finished with his church. And he's not going to let us stay in a place where we can't bring the death back to life.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
Hear me. And you know what? That season of frustration, the waiting... I plainly say to you all, it's not fun to wait. It is irritating.
Very.
Did you guys get that confirmation?
I heard that.
Thank you, Gail.
Well, that's what I tasted. When I bring him home, and he's supposed to sit there and do, all I hear coming out of his mouth is a demon. And I screamed, I yelled, I stomped, I did everything, and I finally called you up. It's not working. I knew it. I saw it. But I couldn't do the work to cast it out.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, God, back we go. Because obviously, I'm not ready. Or whatever, like he said, I'm not ready. But I know that is what I'm supposed to be walking in.
Yeah.
And, he confirmed that with another message that I read, and it mentioned, do you want to be a person that really gets into the heavy stuff? And that was speaking to me.
Yeah.
I said, okay, God. But to get to the point where you can literally cast that thing out, but you go through this period of frustration when you can see it.
Yeah.
You can hear it.
Yeah.
But it's not happening.
Yeah. Look at St. Paul in the book of Acts, and he's got a young woman who's literally pushing Paul to the edge, and I could go there. And she's demonic, okay? She's a fortune teller, okay? And she's making a lot of money for her shaman or whoever he, whatever he is. Paul didn't cast her that thing out the minute that he heard it. Why did he have to wait?
Had to wait on the Holy Spirit.
Ah. Is it comfortable for Paul to wait? Is it comfortable for any of us to wait? No. But it is a part of the maturing process where it gets easier to wait.